Hello.
Yo, you went from Afrikaans to like peak English British Empire. The, hello there.
Good morrow.
Guys, this is the part two of the other one. But anyway, this is the Coffee and Control podcast. I'm Yasin Bonds.
I'm Saeed.
I'm Shadley.
I'm Brad.
And this episode, we're not doing catch-up because the previous episode was a catch-up. This episode is 2010 and everything that happened in 2010.
Yeah, a lot happened in 2010. It was an epic year. Like, looking back, like, first and foremost, World Cup.
2010 was a great year for the country.
Yo, it was. Like, it was peak, a peak, like,
great
excitement. World Cup was, yeah, the vibes were immaculate. Yo, you guys remember?
Shakira gave us that banger, white guy, A. You guys might
know. Dude, 2010 was probably one of my favorite years, like, to date. It was just so much fun. And
it was mad big, like, in the middle of that World Cup.
Man, just the World Cup that month was amazing. But just, we'll talk about it, but the movies, the songs, the games that came out, just, it was just
peak. It was just peak. peaked in 2010.
Yeah, I loved it.
Yo, do you know how, like, jealous I am that you guys were adults when
you were the
like, you guys, like, that?
No, like, you guys, no, you understand, you guys could drive that time.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, I couldn't drive. I was in grade 9 when there was the World Cup.
How old were you? Like,
I was 21, I think.
Yeah, 21.
Like, you guys were starting life and the World Cup, and the whole world was here, bro.
Yes.
Yo, but
like, I was in high school.
With that said, we were also adults with not yet our own money, which was also like a difficult time
very
to go
good
like,
point.
Yeah. Oh shit, there's so much opportunity, but I only have a bank account. Like, now I go, I have a credit card, so I could almost like have more fun than I
you but can't then, be like, how punished am I going to be for spending this?
But now, yeah, but it was, that actually was
it was like, it was an experience. You just had to be there, like, really.
It was so liquor. The fan parks and all the
fan park at the Grand Parade was,
yeah, that was just,
that was crazy.
The amount of beers I drank at that
place. We went to, we always used to go to the one at the waterfront.
That was a good one.
Hyundai had one outside.
Where the lighthouse is.
No. Like, and near the entrance.
Like, the skate park is now.
Yeah, there used to be a fan park there.
I don't remember that one.
That was a nuts one because they had like, it was never too full because I think they limited how many people could come in.
Nice.
Yeah.
But it was like they had the huge thing. They had a stage. And then they also just had like all the food stuff at the side. And there was never queues because they didn't let a lot of people
amazing.
In.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That was the best. But I know what the one you're talking about, the upstairs one. That's where I watched. I watched Uruguay versus Netherlands there.
I watched Uruguay versus South Africa there. Yo, like, yo. It would have been cool if we were there at the same time. That would have been cool.
I know. We watched the final at the CTICC. There was like a fuckload of people there.
I think I watched the final at home. I'm not going to lie. Like,
I watched the finals at
with my mom at
waterfront.
Home.
You know where the parking is? Is that the parking? I think, yeah, the parking is now opposite the waterfront.
On top.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, there.
Yeah.
So there was a fan park then. I think
that was great.
Yeah.
And there was the one by where Cape Town Fish Market at the waterfront is now, like right there by the lighthouse. I didn't know it was there, right? So on day one of the World Cup, Nats and I, we were like, let's just drive to the waterfront and get the vibes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then we parked there by the clock tower side.
Yeah.
And we saw that fan park and we were like, what is this? We're going inside. And we just watched, it was Argentina versus Nigeria, I think. And just so good. Like,
the vibes were just crazy in Cape Town.
Yeah, but it was like,
Cape Town vibes were crazy that time.
It was like,
yeah,
everywhere you looked, like, people just were just like, the
Mandela's dreams coming.
No lie.
So the World Cup is corruption that I stand for.
Because it's for good vibes.
Yeah,
because
it came
good
out that
vibes.
We bought, that we apparently we bought the World Cup. And I was like,
fine.
We spent it
brought
$10 million. And I go, guys, $10 million? Come now. It's fine.
Did I have to take it back?
Yeah.
I had a fight with Helen Zilla on Twitter about this. Because she was like, we got it with corruption and stuff. And I'm like, yeah.
So,
it was a great month.
It?
And look,
I was happy that month. Like, now I'm paying bills. Yeah. Fuck you.
People came back at me like, you are, what's wrong with the country? I'm like, fuck off.
We are having fun. Damn it. Yeah.
Great. What a time.
Good corruption.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's benefiting the people.
I stand for that. I still remember I was when South Africa was announced as the World Cup hosts, which was would have been what, 2005-ish? 2006?
Yeah,
no, even earlier than that, even. Because I was playing soccer at Durbanville Soccer Club. I was playing for Edgemead, but I was playing at Durbanville against Durbanville. And we all knew the draw was happening like while we were going to be on the field. While we were playing, we just heard from the clubhouse, yeah! And then all of us on the field were like, yes!
The whole country scored. Cancel the game, guys. Yeah. We're all winning today.
It's so good.
Then what happened in the world?
Yo, okay. So let's start with tech because okay. I'm going to circle back. Tech, we got Instagram.
Wow.
Yeah. Apple iPads debuted or so. And we got 4G networks, guys. Oh. And no one was complaining that they were trying to chip us, track us in my cassette.
I don't even remember 4G being a thing. It was 3G. And then
suddenly it was like 4G was just got slipped
and then
5G, in.
5G. Yeah.
What's the difference between LTE? I don't know this stuff.
I remember back in the day when Edge was like the fastest.
That
E on your phone. And I was like, fuck yeah, I've got some data.
When you get it now, you're like, fuck, it's slow.
When I was away now over the weekend, my signal was on 4G. And I'm like, this is so slow.
It's
like in his new laptop now. Yeah. Why did it exist?
Then music. We got the Lady Gaga meet dress at the VMAs.
Wow. Yeah.
Then Katy Perry's Teenage Dream. Eminem and Rihanna's Love the Way You Lie. Taylor Swift also started picking up.
Yo.
And then Michael Jackson moonwalked out of existence.
I feel like you say that every time we do a Game of the Year thing.
I think it was 2009.
Because I feel like you said that before, but because like you say that, I feel like you said it every episode. Is that going to be our thing? Guys, if you see us anywhere, just say,
rectify that. I was going to say, like, what is like your favorite song from 2010 or the song that reminds you most about 2010? And it's obviously what the song that reminds you most about 2010 is.
I mean, let's all say it on the count of three, right? 1, 2, 3, waka waka.
Wave
your flag.
Yeah.
That's my honorable mention.
With that said, though, Wave Your Flag was a way trash song.
No ways.
No ways.
That makes you feel like a child, bruh. Okay, I was a child, so it made you feel like a child.
Wave Your Flag, because we were in Gravesend and they played Wave Your Flag in the place we were at, the pub, club, whatever.
Why?
Because, they play that kind of music. Anyway.
They only just got that song.
Yeah, they have edge there, but they're gonna get edge like next.
Wave
next
your
month.
Flag. You can only hear one verse and a chorus, and you must change. You cannot listen to any more of Wave Your Flag. Waka Waka gave us like the whole song. I want to hear every part that is the World Cup. But Wave Your Flag, it's a Coke ad. Lass it. That's all that.
I will not tolerate this. There's respect.
Sing the second verse of Wave Your Flag. If you can sing the second verse, then I'll give it to you.
But no, I don't want to get the copyright strike.
Give me freedom, give me fire.
Wave your flag all around. Give me freedom again.
You heard it in the first verse. Wave Your Flag is a
trash. That's fine. It was perfect for what we needed.
We needed the vibes. Okay, we got two World Cup songs. Oh. Other countries name one World Cup song.
Wasn't that also the Make the Circle Bigger year as well? I think it was.
No.
And then people thought that Joey Rustin was JR because
that was funny. Can we go look up when that came out?
There were some bangers music wise this year.
What else are you seeing there?
So I was, you know, this okay, you didn't play much FIFA 12, but Not in Love, Crystal Castles, Robert Smith.
Oh,
was that,
yes,
yeah?
I don't even know.
That's like you'll know it because it was FIFA 12.
So
it was
the song the most
when you opened the game, it was the song
okay,
I played.
Okay,
so editing us
also
the
my beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy came out in 2010.
Oh, wow.
So all the songs on that album.
Yeah. Runaway.
Yeah. All of those songs was LCD Sound System and was there. What else was there now?
That green Kanye was Kanye.
Yeah.
And then movies wise also.
Yeah, bangers. Like we got The Social Network, Tron Legacy, Inception, Prince of Persia, Tangled, Batman Under the Red Hood, 127 Hours, Megamind, Despicable Me, How to Train Your Dragon, Toy Story 3.
Despicable Me.
Black Swan, Book of Eli. And that's not even like...
Did you say Scott Pilgrim?
Scott Pilgrim versus the World as well.
The Town.
The Town.
So
the other guys.
I think you're the only one who likes that movie.
I like that movie.
Did Happy come out with Despicable Me 1 or 2?
2, I think.
I think it was 2.
Okay. No, two, yeah. Well, no, Happy was Happy and Minions wasn't Happy for another movie.
No Despicable Me.
Think wasn't it was. Happy for Smurfs or something.
No, no. It was it
no
was.
Smurfs was that Justin Timberlake song.
Yeah.
No, that's Trolls.
Oh. Also, Four Lions came out in 2010. Classic.
Oh, what a classic. What's thing that? As well.
It's the is it Riz Ahmed? Is it Riz Ahmed? Yeah, it so is. It's about the guys who wanted they decide they're gonna like be suicide bombers.
Okay.
But it's sounds like it's a comedy. It's a comedy. It's but it's kak funny. It's like I one of the funniest.
Okay. Please watch it.
It's like very, it's very one of the funniest like Exit to the Gift Shop came out.
What a, another banger also. Have you seen that?
Iconic documentary.
Because you know, it's that the documentary.
Nah, so yeah. The thing is the intro of that.
Yeah.
Like the opening where they show all the people doing the stuff. That alone for me makes solid. It.
I must watch it now again. I think I expected too much from it back in the day. And that was also when I was at college. So we were all like sharing video files.
Yeah. No, look, it's not a great documentary. Yeah. It's just, I just think like my thing of the reason why I always mention it is that every single person that I know that watched it tried to make art after they watched it.
Okay, fair enough. Okay.
Like even if it was just drawing a stencil or everybody that watches it tries to do something afterwards. And I feel like that's like the concept. Also, the flow human. The documentary is not about the most interesting person in the in the story. True. So it's this bro basically just wanted to make a documentary about himself.
It's the thing of I think it's the Kanye West documentary that's on Netflix, where the first three episodes is about Kanye West and the fourth one is actually about the guy making the movie.
Okay.
They follow Banksy and then at the end it becomes the guy making the movie. He becomes his own Banksy essentially.
We also had Shak Shabalala Survival Guide.
I watched that at the cinema.
Did you? Well, you paid money for that.
I don't respect any of Brad's movie references ever. If that is where we're starting, I went to the
The A-Team reboot.
Yeah, the A-Team. I enjoyed it.
I love that movie.
I was so sad when they didn't when they didn't do another one.
Yeah. This was the year that I think, and I think I also say this every episode, but this was the year I went to the cinema, I think, the most. Because like bangers on bangers on bangers on bangers on bangers.
Hot Tub Time Machine?
I didn't
also, yes, Repo Men or so.
Is it?
Repo Men or so came out.
I'm looking there, The Tourist as well with Johnny Depp and Angelina. Like that was
Kick-Ass.
Horrible. It was Kick-Ass as well.
Kick-Ass.
Was it? Kick-Ass.
The thing was Submarine. Kick-Ass because it was so much more violent than it needed to be.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why it was
It was surprising. Like I remember because I just knew it was a funny movie. I didn't know it was gonna there was I didn't know it was gonna be like that. Like didn't they hit him with a spanner or something and like he's just bleeding like crazy.
And
the way
the rewatch
VR
scene is still one of the most iconic moments.
Also it's kind of a funny story, it's also a great movie. That's a great movie.
Yeah, kind of funny story is actually a
really, really great movie. And then I have to film school shout out Uncle Boonmi, who can recall his past lives. One of my favorite movies.
Yo, that's such a that is such a film student.
Five star. Watch it if you want to watch something that's great, but it's not.
It's not for everybody.
It's not for everybody, but I love it. It's like if you watch it and you pay attention to it, I think it will change your life. But
The Fighter.
Scott Pilgrim this weekend.
And so good.
It's still good.
I just love the choices that he makes like visually for that movie.
Yes. It's like, so it's striking.
Like it's just like it's one of a kind. Like in
You can't mimic that in another.
There's no way to do that without looking like making worst copy of that movie. Like all of the stuff he did.
Do you have like
the sounds, the everything graphics, about it, the man. Cutaways, the all of it.
Like, but just the editing in for me was the best thing about that movie.
Yeah.
Obviously it was planned, like Edgar Wright planned it, but like you know, there's a scene where he's talking to someone like in a park and it keeps cutting from like, you know, like just to each of them. And then when it cuts to the next person again, they're in a completely different location, but the conversation carries on.
Yeah.
And
it's
then
like a comic, it's probably like a comic book.
Yes.
Like the way that next frame, next cut is someone, whole different location. Yeah. Or he's talking to people and then they do like you hear a bit of the sound from the, like the J-cut thing, you hear a bit of the sound and then you in the coffee shop.
It's perfect.
It's just so liquor.
Like even the fights, like the way it's choreographed, it's like, it's not, it's that over the top comic book style where it's like, it's not reliant on heavy, like action sequences. Yeah. It kind of like just has that magic to it.
And to think they were going to let him do Ant-Man.
Yeah.
He was going to be the first Ant-Man and then I think they just didn't let him do what he wanted to do and he stepped away. But imagine him do, like James Gunn should tell him to like do a movie in DC and just go crazy and do what you want to do. Like do like a
a comic book version of Yeah, a comic book version of a comic book movie.
Yeah.
That's like essentially what the Scott Pilgrim was.
Just go crazy and...
Yeah. Like a Booster Gold
and
movie.
And it doesn't
like,
need to exist in the universe. It must just be his, what you call
like,
it.
Like, do something cool. Like,
and also, we must give, what you call it, what's his name that did Batman? The first Batmans?
The very first Batman.
Talking about Tim Burton.
Yeah, Tim Burton. Let's get Tim Burton back on superhero movies.
No, I think he's too old to do that now.
I would love to see Scott.
I want to rewatch it because like, I remember liking it when I was a child, but I don't know if it's...
It's fine. It's very fine.
Good.
Also, Danny DeVito was scary.
Yeah.
I was scared of
that scene where he bit, I think it was Christopher Walken's finger off or something.
Yes.
Like that. And I'm
like, you go like, whoa, this is actually like pretty dark.
He bites his nose off.
Also, the way he just ate the fish.
Yeah, the fish. Okay, guys. What are our top 5 films of 2010?
Okay, who's gonna go? Who's gonna go first?
Yeah, I'll go first.
I've got to
you go first.
You want to go first?
Yeah,
okay, go.
I won't talk about a lot of them because we have already now, but in no particular order, one movie we haven't spoken about yet, Jackass 3D. That was the first Jackass movie I watched in the cinema, and it was 3D.
Yeah,
dude, my friend and I were we were sitting around in front. 3D penises in our face.
Wow, that's not a statement I wanted to hear today.
And I still watch that movie to this day. It's so good.
It's like, such a good movie. Like, you just rewatch it. Like, Jackass. It's. I think it might be the. I think. Is that the best one?
I think so.
I think it's the best
one.
Yeah,
I think so.
That was like. Everything was just right. Because also, everybody was there, right?
Yeah. Yes, it was before Ryan Dunn's day.
Everybody was there. That's like the last Jackass. Yeah.
I feel like they also knew they knew the worth of the movie.
Yes.
Yeah. The first one they didn't. They were just making a movie.
Yeah. And also I think like they knew like they probably were not going to make another one.
That's the last one.
So they just went for it and it was so perfect. Man.
Then Black Swan.
Oh, yes.
I haven't watched it.
Have you not?
Oh,
Bro, it's brilliant. Like myself... My cousin. And
is it better than that?
It's how racist people recall 1994.
Is it better than the anime thing that it's the like? Is it Perfect Blue? That it's so like.
Oh, that it's based on.
Yeah, it's most based on the anime.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, yeah. Aronofsky even bought the rights to that to recreate a few shots. I remember that now. Yeah, I haven't seen it.
I'm trying to think now because Perfect Blue is. Really intense also.
Yeah.
But they fundamentally very different also.
I think I must do both of them. Like,
yeah, watch back both. To back.
I love Black Swan. It's a proper descent into madness.
Is it? But it's not like jumps. Is it jump scary?
There's one or two. Yeah, like,
but it's not like...
It's
just a good movie.
Unsettling.
Maybe I should watch it.
I think you should.
Did Everton come out also?
2011, yeah. I think, wasn't it?
No, but it became the highest grossing film.
For 2010.
Yeah.
Yes. End of 2009 it came out.
And they had a long run in cinemas.
Yeah.
I think I should try watching those movies again.
No.
Because like,
I haven't even seen the second one.
Do you know, I hype, people are so hyped online for the one that's coming out and I'm just like, I don't know if I
feel like that feels like propaganda. Like there's some movies where I look at it and I go,
no, but
it doesn't deserve it.
Yeah. No, but you know what it is? It's like also, it's the same thing where like randomly you'll see like a thing from like a pop culture website or Instagram page and be like, this song has been top of the charts for 42 weeks. And you're like, I never heard this thing before. There's like different worlds, bruh.
Yeah.
And that's all the people that watch Avatar because it's like,
then,
I don't know.
Then also Twilight, which one? Twilight, the Eclipse one.
Okay. Was that 2010 as well?
That's also from that time. Like that time gave us like proper legends. Anyway,
that's when the wedding.
Yeah.
So that you guys are traumatized by that song from working in the wedding industry.
And then 127 hours.
Didn't watch it.
Danny Boyle, James Franco. Look, James Franco. Yeah. But I loved it. All of these movies I'm talking about now, I watched in the cinema as well. But like 127 hours, it's Danny Boyle through and through. You think you would get bored because for the majority of the movie, you're in a small cavern with this guy and he's hand trapped. But the way they made that movie, man, is so good. And we all know what happens at the end. He cuts his arm off. That scene.
I don't know.
Like a particular part of that because it's very graphic. Like you see everything and there's a particular part where he has to cut through like a nerve. And the sound design that they use in that part.
I already feel that.
But it's not like the gross sound design. When he cuts his nerve, there's like a sound design in there. Nice. But like, anyway.
But
so good. And then Inception.
Yeah.
Yes.
We don't need to speak about that. Inception's just fantastic.
I need to revisit this.
It's a complete game changer, a mind changer. Yeah, I think it did as much damage to pop culture as The Matrix.
Yes.
Yeah, easily.
In terms of like, change the way we like think going forward.
Yeah. Then Scott Pilgrim, which you've spoken about. And my honorable, so that's my top five. An honorable mention. I could replace 127 hours with this.
Eat, Pray,
depending
Love.
Depending on my mood. No, not Eat, Pray, Love. Toy Story 3.
Never watched.
That's
didn't
a
watch
big
it.
Show.
Really?
I never
it's
watched
it. It's the best one of the Toy Stories, in my opinion.
It is so good. Like,
and I watched it in 3D, also at the cinema, obviously. And this was the 2010 was the year the 3D was like everywhere.
Yeah.
And this was the first 3D film I watched where instead of things coming out, you almost were looking into a box. That's it almost cool. looked like you were watching a Toy Story play.
Oh, like,
yeah.
You know I mean, you were looking into the screen as opposed to things coming out. And I remember that still to this day is the best 3D film I've watched. Because obviously they have full control over it because it's fully animated, obviously. But like I said, it's a box in the screen as opposed to things coming out at you. Also, I would say the most, okay, maybe it's tied with Toy Story 2 for like the most heart in a Toy Story film. It's a lot of sad parts, a lot of fun.
There's that moment that you're just like, you're okay, are they going to do this?
Mm-hmm. And then, so that's my top five. There are so many more, but I think those are my top five.
And I'm looking at the list now and it's
crazy. Eh? In 1 year, we got a Darren Aronofsky movie, a Danny Boyle movie, Nolan movie, an Edgar Wright movie. And what else did we say? There was another
David
one. David Fincher as well.
Yeah.
With The Social Network.
I was going to say like that. This, like in my top five is like The Social Network is up there because that film is just great. Like it's just one of those films that is so well made and it tells the story in a really engaging way because like if you look at it from the outside, you go, it's not a particularly exciting story.
While it didn't make Zuckerberg look good.
Yeah, but it
also...
I hated him off. I was actually going to say like I couldn't like stand seeing him.
Yeah.
Not like Jesse. I couldn't stand seeing the actor for so long because I was like,
that really sells you.
But
like,
I think it did amazing for the movie and for social, for him as a brand.
Yes.
It made us go, Zuckerberg's a person.
Yeah.
He's not
I changed the perception.
Because we don't know the creator of Instagram. We don't know the creators of Google. Yeah. We don't know. Even Elon is like, we know, but we also don't know.
Yeah.
But that movie did amazing things for Zuckerberg.
So and then the Inception as well, one of my favorites, like just that perfect blend of like filmy artsy style but like also high-end action concept, like just done really well. Batman Under the Redwood, one of my favorite Batman movies of all time.
I still haven't seen it.
Really
there's cool. A lot of the animated ones that I started once trying to make my way through it like a few years ago.
Watch that if you watch anyone, watch that because that's like very much like a standalone. Then what was the other one? Scott Pilgrim vs. the World as well. I have to put that up there. So I've watched that so many times. Like, and then finally the other one is The Fighter.
So good.
That's also like another great film.
Yeah, great.
Is that Christian Bale?
Also Wahlberg,
Christian Bale. It's about the brothers.
Yes.
Yeah. That's one of the few that he lost.
You could say that about any Christian
Bale. He's
done
a few ways.
I haven't seen that one.
It's a good movie.
It's a really good movie. It's worth checking.
What's his name? David O. Russell, the director, hey?
Can't remember.
And
I think
he is...
Cancel.
By all accounts, a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Like, but he makes such good movies.
worst. Like, stop being so talented.
I don't understand why these actors still work with him, though. Because I don't know if you've seen, there's a video that went around from the movie director just before The Fighter with Lily Tomlinson. And he's going off at her on set and they're shouting at each other and he's throwing shit at her. Like, he's one of those directors. He'll lose his cool and start throwing shit around and screaming in actors' faces. And she's, like, standing there, not taking it, but, like, being the adult almost, you know what I mean?
Like, I have to be the sane one, yeah.
Yeah, and it's weird that people still... I mean, Kristen Bell's always working with him. Jennifer Lawrence is always working with him. He did Silver Linings Playbook as well.
Yes, that's it.
And then a few other movies, which they aren't my bag, but The Fighter was really good. Really
he's
good.
He's one of those, like... He's very good as a director, but, like, you can see he's... Yeah, he's not a night person.
No. I think he just quickly, he also did that movie Three Kings with Mark Wahlberg, Ice Cube, and whatever. Yes. And there's a lot of stories. I think Ice Cube tells a lot of stories. Like, he was a shitty director to work with. Like,
He's not a nice person.
Yeah.
So I'm just going through a list now. And I think a lot of it is mentioned, but also Invictus.
Was that 2010?
From what I see, here, it seems
no,
like
it's just that's so crazy, dude. This year
does it fall under?
I wouldn't be surprised.
December, so I'm assuming it's the 29.
It's 2009. It's okay. The end of.
Okay, then yeah.
I hated that movie, man.
There was so much joy in my heart when they drove past Mary Hardin down Clifontaine Road. Yeah. Yo, I was like, I love this. Are you mad? and then Easy A.
Oh, that's also a good movie.
So good.
Which still stands. It's still funny and it's still relevant.
So good.
What else is there? There was, there's just a lot. Like, I'm going through the list and we've mentioned most of it, actually.
It's a very good year for movies. Like, some of these movies are still my favorites to this day. Like, it's still movies I'll revisit all the time.
Dinner
for Schmucks.
I still haven't seen that.
Really? Mm. So that movie, I probably watched it like years later.
Okay.
But I remember like watching it and going, why has no one seen this? Because it felt like a collection of funny people from all the other things that I've watched.
Yeah.
And they were all in one place. Yeah. And it was so, so good.
There's a blooper reel that I watch of that still. And I'm like, this is hilarious. I can only imagine then.
And then Tron Legacy was also there.
I didn't watch that.
Listen, that was basically a music video for Daft Punk.
Yeah, I didn't watch it.
That was so good.
But, but that Daft Punk album that dropped, that was so damn good.
No, it was, And then this Clash of the Titans.
Yeah, that was ass.
I watched that.
Yeah. I hated it. Yo.
And then Alice in Wonderland also. Which I thought was like a great take on what things look like in Tim Burton's mind.
I really liked Alice in Wonderland, but a lot of people didn't.
I also enjoyed it. But he kind of mashes together the first and second book because they're actually multiple books and he kind of like just
smashes like the right amount of LSD.
Yes.
That's a very important for for that.
Just to experience, be like, what is happening?
And yours?
So mine is, I think, I don't know. It's not an order.
It doesn't have to be in order.
You have to. I feel like I can't not put Social Network there.
Yeah.
It's just like when. Because also like it's the way it's edited is so well. Like you never feel like you need to take your eyes off the screen, and the sound and everything is amazing.
That just quickly, that scene when they're doing the rowing.
Yeah.
The editing in that is so good. I still remember because I was nominated for an Oscar for editing, and that was the scene they showed. Like when they said, "So good, man."
Yeah. I have to say Scott Pilgrim. Mm. It's kind of a funny story.
Yeah.
Uncle Boonby, I mentioned it. Watch it. Or don't. Doesn't change my life. And then you guys are making me feel like I'm wrong for liking The Town because I watched it when I was...
No, it's a good movie.
I was in high school. I don't know if it's good or if I was in high school.
It was good for you. So that's all that
counts. I've been meaning to rewatch it because I keep seeing TikTok clips of it. So I'm like... I'm watching it through TikTok,
The clown. The town.
My new thing on TikTok now is when people are dropping edits. Have you seen the Fast and Furious edits?
No. But I have seen edits.
I'm going to send you links. Guys, people are doing other things in the world. Like, anyway.
And then Four Lions, I'm going to put in there in my top five just because it was so different from anything I had seen at that point.
It also felt like a representation to an extent.
Yeah.
To see like
in a weird way it was.
Yeah, to see Muslim people like be normal.
Yeah.
And not like, we just hearing that in the opening of the movie, calm the hell down.
Yeah, that, and I think that's like, that's probably my...
It's just a lot to me.
It's a very good year for films.
There's way too many.
Very good. Now you can see why we split this episode into two, by the way, because...
It needs time.
This one into two again.
Because if we go into games as well, like, just notable releases, Red Dead Redemption, Mass Effect 2, Super Mario Galaxy 2, God of War 3...
Wait, don't Star mention Craft it. Let's go through our list and then we go through the honorable because we're going to say it again.
Halo Reach, Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, Heavy Rain, Black Ops, Limbo. That's just a few.
So good.
And like in terms of what won that year, it was always between Red Dead Redemption and Mass Effect 2.
Probably Mass Effect. I think overall, I've said before, like I never finished Red Dead 1 because...
Likewise.
It was too long. I felt like it was too long and there was...
So they did one at the VGAs and Mass Effect 2, one at Golden Joystick. That was like the two big ones. And then like Heavy Rain one.
I feel like Mass Effect 2 was like changed lives when it came out.
Yeah, it was big. It was big like in terms of what it did.
It's not on Game Pass, no?
It is.
Is it?
Should be. On PC should, Game Pass.
Maybe I should try to play. Do you know what's... I want to complain about the Game Pass thing on PC. When you're on the app, no? Like, they show you, like, 30 games only. So I was still messaging the group and I was like, I'm so disappointed. But you have to search manually for the games because on PC, even though the Game Pass games are on both, it's technically Xbox Game Pass.
Yes.
So it doesn't show up. So I had to like look on their website what games they had, and then I had to go onto the app and search for the game manually.
And is it the Xbox app or the Game Pass app?
It's the Xbox app.
Yeah, okay.
So like, because then I was like, I thought Fallout was on here, like, and then it doesn't show up there. And then when you search Fallout, then all the games pop up.
Got
so I was
you.
Like,
okay,
cool. But that's so unnecessary because there's no way to like, I click through everything to look for the list. Then the full list is 30 stuff and I'm like, nah.
But that's very interesting.
This feels like you're also taking it up with Brad.
I'm just facing that way.
Because Brad knows Xbox. Hey, take it up with your people.
I'm just facing that way.
I look like Phil Spencer, but I'm not him.
We're gonna put that photo up now of the face swap.
Quickly, like... He's taking it out because Brad is always buying the Game Pass. So Game of the Year for us. Yeah. Who's going to go first?
I can go first. I don't have that much to say about the game. So the reason why I love this game is because I got it on a flash drive. Somebody gave it to me. It was a small game, but it was so quiet. And it just felt very different from everything that I played up until that point. And it's Limbo. Limbo has to be my game. I love, like, there's so many, like, all the choices. I like the fact that the game just starts.
Yeah.
There's no intro.
Yes.
Nothing. It says Limbo. You say start.
And then you play.
Then it doesn't even go into a loading screen. It just starts. Yep. Like, everything just disappears.
And you start.
And
you
start. And you don't know anything.
No.
You figure out your controls as you're moving along.
And I love that because they've made the controls so intuitive that you know, okay, this is to jump.
Like, yeah.
You almost, like, before needing to be told, which it doesn't tell you.
Yeah.
You just play the game. Yeah. It feels intuitive. It's so good, man.
You just figure things out and then you also... slowly have to find out what, like, you don't realize in the beginning that there's things that will kill you in the thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
So then you find that out. And then once you find that out, the game changes and
it's tense.
Because first it's like, okay, maybe it's just the art style. Yeah. And then you play it and it's like, oh no, it's actually,
this is scary. Yeah.
There's stuff in here. Like,
as soon as that spider's leg moves you.
That thing, it gets you like that. And you're like, okay, cool. Now I need to, now I don't know what's going to kill me.
Let's go.
Anything that is black.
It's brilliant.
And also, like, I like the fact that, like, there's puzzles, but none of the puzzles are, you don't even need a guide to figure out how to get through the game. It's just, you can figure everything out. Obviously, if you've played more games, it'll be easier for you because in general, will just know more about you'll be able to figure things out. But I think anybody can play this game because, if I'm not mistaken, don't you only have like two buttons besides move?
I think so.
It's like just jump and drag.
Yes.
Yeah.
And like that's like, it's so simple. Like most people could be able to play it, figure it out. And it's not like quick time events either.
No. Yeah.
So literally like it's a nice entry level for anybody who wants to get into anything. So I obviously the art style, it's also one of those things where if you show somebody a screenshot of the game, they'll know the game.
Yeah.
And it looks...
And it's nice.
The screenshot looks like the game.
Yeah.
Yes.
It plays like the screenshot. Yeah. It is... And it's nice also visually.
It's got its own style. And like, it obviously... So part of why I think it like deserves to be mentioned, all the games that came after it that took a lot from it.
Yeah.
So like, the one that was but the same people inside.
Yeah.
Creepy ass game, like,
love it.
Makes you feel sick when you play it. And then something like Little Nightmares, for example, that came afterwards also,
which is also like very creepy.
Yeah, it's like Little Nightmares gets you, and they're on like the third or fourth game now as well. The third one came out.
It's out already.
But
it's not done by the same studios,
is it?
It's just.
So I think that's also a last thing I'll mention is the sound of the game. Like, that's a game that you should play with the headphones on, for example, and just. Like it's nothing constant, but you'll hear stuff that will always,
in the
background.
And
you're
it keeps you aware of like what's going on.
Yeah.
So,
that's Limbo.
I've two games, right? And so I watched, the game came out in 2010, but I watched the movie in 2012. And then it reminded me that the game was Super Meat Boy. Which was a... So, did you watch Indie Game the movie?
Yeah.
Yes.
Which I thought was like... It was such a great introspection into like... Yeah. It felt like people like us that were into making games. So mm-hmm. then that got me hyped. And then I just remember the game looking like madness and like dying is okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you just get mashed.
I couldn't finish that game. I gave up.
It's tough, eh?
Same. It also was so fast paced.
Yeah. It feels like that first generation of those like Celeste, those high skill platformers. Yeah. No? But it wasn't quite refined at the time. And so it was just stupidly
like
it laid hard.
The groundwork for something like Celeste to come out, which is probably the best in that.
In that genre.
It's probably the best in that genre.
And
it's
then,
on Game Pass.
Need for Speed Hot Pursuit. Because
the remake one.
No. That was, I think, the original
one. The original one was like 2000 and something. Like yeah, I played it on
probably, yeah. Then it might have been the remake. Because I remember we played that also.
Yes, that is right.
Because it was a racing game that wasn't just the track that was gonna that you needed to finish. It was like the police could also get you and you could evade. So it almost like heightened. It made it a racing game, an arcade game as well. And I think that was like a fun... yeah, that game stuck with me also. And again, soundtrack, EA, they're never going to miss with that.
No. I remember playing the OG Hot Pursuit. My dad had it like on his work PC or something like that when I was like 10 or something. And I used to play that. It was so good.
Was that Need for Speed 3?
I think so.
That was the one that I saw. That was the one I had.
So much fun.
Those are my two mentions.
You also
for that.
Like Limbo. I know you like
Definitely Limbo. But Limbo
I like a game that you could also like, I could imagine myself playing that game on my phone.
Yes.
As much as it on the big screen or on a computer. Like
Limbo is like on phone.
Yeah, like it's such a licky game.
And like we said, it's a very accessible game because it's another game that my partner has played almost to completion because it's a simple game to get used to. It can be complicated, like with the puzzles and everything. It takes some trial and error, but it's an accessible game. I remember going to a friend's 40th and her niece or nephew was playing it on their PS5 in the house and they were just smashing it. And I'm like, watching that, I'm like, how's this kid like? And then I realized like, yes, it's a tough game and kids are obviously more video game.
What, was that the indie game?
I think so.
Yeah.
What's this?
Limbo. Limbo,
Yeah, it's an indie game.
It's like one of the...
Also stands the test of time.
Games.
The fact that you can still say it's you going to the two 40-year-old parties and it's still being played.
Yes, exactly.
That's great. FIFA don't lost that long.
I think it's on Game Pass, no?
It is.
And then Inside.
It should be. Inside, yeah.
So if you haven't played it yet, try it out.
Yeah.
Or not.
Inside.
Yeah, or not. It's not going to change
much. Which is creepier, Limbo or Inside?
Inside, I think.
I think Inside.
Because Inside is like... Limbo is like you stuck in the woods, but Inside is like this whole society is messed up.
Yes.
And it's like... That last
I couldn't even finish it because I started
kind of like realizing what's happening also.
Yeah,
like,
as you figure out stuff, I started to feel very uneasy. And I don't...
What is yours?
So I have two. One is Amnesia the Dark Descent and the other one is Just Cause 2.
Nice.
And Amnesia is because it's a pure survival
Is that the first Amnesia game?
Yes, it is the first one, I think.
Because I remember
so
when
that
I,
was like... it's pure survival horror. Like, you can't fight. There's no combat. They flows you because they're like, you can pick up chairs and brooms and stuff and throw it, but it's like, it does nothing.
Yeah. So you must like, is that the one where you must find light? You must find
light to keep your sanity because if you lose sanity, more enemies appear and they become more aware of you and that. And obviously, if they catch you, you die. And the whole thing is your character, Daniel, is in this castle. And it's just like, he's got to find this guy and kill him. And that's it. Like, he has amnesia, basically. And you're just told that there's this entity following you. And that is what really works with the game. Because you have that piece of information. And the sound design, again, of this creates this, like, ambient sound of the castle. So you have all that creaking and stuff. But there's... It brings, like, that sense of anxiety. Because you, like, you'll hear, like, parts of the castle crashing down and you'll hear movement in it and you're just like, oh, what's going on? But the cool thing is, like you were saying, you have to stay in the light. Like, the light maintains your sanity. As you go further and further to find the bra, there's less light. You have less light for your torches. There's less torches underground. So it creates like this back and forth where you're like, you need to move forward into the dark, but you don't know where there's more light and you don't know if there's enemies. So it's really well designed in that aspect. Like, that fear aspect is really good. And yeah, it's also, it's just like hide and seek.
Yeah.
Like enemies feels like hide and seek. It's also like, you don't want to turn around to go like, look, oh, where's this thing?
It's like a solid also.
Yes. Like there's a sequence where this thing chases you and you can just hear it. Mm. And it's like, you don't want to turn around because you can hear it's like right there. If you turn around, it's going to catch you.
Dead.
So you're like, no, yeah. Thank you. The final third does like, it slips up a little bit, but overall. Yeah, like story-wise, it's like Cosmic Item. And so it's like, like these weird concepts and that takes it a little far, but for the most part, a really good game. I mean, it's still highly rated today. Then the other one, Just Cause 2. That's a GTA clone.
I was about to say GTA with...
It's a GTA clone for me. No?
I played the first one only. I didn't play any of the others.
Over 80s or 90s action movie. Because yes, it's like, you this bruh sent to this island to overthrow a dictatorship. That is peak action movie vibes. And you must just like destroy all the infrastructure and stuff like that. Yeah. So it's very Far Cry like that. But the most fun... it's a damn grappling hook. Because you can grapple hook enemies. Yeah.
Plane.
You can grapple hook like enemies' cars to each other so they crash out. You can like jump from car to car. It's just stupid fun. Like they went for that over-the-top element and it's like, and they stuck to it. But, and they were just like, yeah, do whatever you want to. I don't really remember the story that well. Because it's I just want to catch on nonsense. But.
Yeah. It's like if GTA had more purpose. Like,
yeah.
Because it feels like GTA can have so much freedom. This one has like freedom, but also like this is the main thing.
Yeah. It was like, go catch on nonsense. You're action hero. Action hero things. And then that's that. So
Rambo and GTA.
Yes.
And Far Cry.
Far Cry where... that was another cool thing. Like you had to like destroy outposts. Like you had to help these like three factions to try and you get points for it. And then that would advance the story also. So it was also exploring, destroying stuff there to like push the story on. So, but overall, like the open world was great. It was fun. And it was like, you could call in vehicles.
PS3, no?
Yeah. You could call in vehicles. Like, so this one, it was like, you could buy vehicles and they drop it to your location.
Oh,
so it was your... so much fun.
Did you play number 3?
I didn't play 3.
Okay, because 3 is basically the same. Like,
just ramped up even more.
I loved number 3. That came out on like PS Plus 1 year.
I need to play that actually.
3 and 4 on PS Plus collection now.
I must go
play
that.
I haven't played 4 yet.
Anyway. They say you can play it now.
Brad?
Yeah, so my game of the year, I love everyone's choices, but my one that stood out is Splinter Cell Conviction. And it's one of those games.
Is that the last one they made?
Second last.
I never got into Splinter Cell.
Splinter Cell, I loved the Splinter Cell series up to that point. I don't think actually I knew that Conviction was out. You know what I mean? Back then, you don't know when games are coming out.
Yeah, there's a new one.
Yeah. So I went and stayed with my cousin. He was living in Hermanus. So I went and stayed with him and I spent the weekend with him and he had an Xbox 360 and Splinter Cell Conviction. I was like, yo. And like, so like, honestly, like in between hanging out and like drinking and stuff, I would just play the game for the first time. I clocked it that weekend. Everyone went to bed and I stayed up late in the lounge, like playing Splinter Cell.
That's a good weekend.
A receptive spy. It was that weekend.
But yeah, I mean, the cool thing about it was, so up to that point, so this is the 5th Splinter Cell game, Conviction. The one before it, number 4, which was Double Agent. I think it was Double Agent. Yeah, Double Agent, which I really liked. Like, it took the Splinter Cell formula and just expanded on it and made it a more like spy thriller as opposed to like stealth thriller kind of thing. But anyway, so this game kind of carries that on where Sam Fisher, the protagonist, he has retired and he's like on a mission to go find more information about his daughter who had died, who got knocked over in a hit and run. So he's now in a random country. He's retired from everything.
Taken.
Yeah, basically. And then, but then he gets like this waiter right at the beginning of the game, this waiter like puts a plate down in front of him and it's got an earpiece on it. And you're like, oh shit. Then he puts it in and it's his former colleague saying, there's guys coming here to kill you. You need to get out. And that's when the game starts, basically.
Oh, liquor.
And now it's
not putting an unknown earpiece in my earpiece.
You don't know where that's been.
So basically then that's when the game starts. But you're now in like this you're outside during the day, and usually Splinter Cell games are inside at night where you can hide in the shadows. So now it's more like crouching, taking cover, sneaking around people, not using the light. But anyway, then you're in it, and then it introduces new mechanics like you're in one cover, you can like press a button to go to the next cover kind of thing. This was 2010 when this was still kind of unique.
It's new.
And then you can like see an arrow where, anyway, it's just really cool, like new stuff. And then there's this thing called mark and execute where you can hide behind, you're hiding behind something, and then you can mark, okay, those two enemies. Then you press a button and he jumps out and headshots them. And then the more advanced you get in the game, the more enemies you can unlock to do the mark and execute. That's but obviously wild. Doing that, then that alerts all the enemies to your presence, and then you start a gunfight. So this game is less stealth focused and more like using a silencer gun kind of thing. Yes, knocking out lights to sneak in the shadows. But it's just really cool, and it's a cool story, really. Because then you figure out that your daughter isn't dead. She's been held captive somewhere. You were fed a lie that she was killed. And now you must go find her. And that's what the game is. But then you unlock, then there's this whole like story to assassinate the president and stuff.
Of course. Obviously. The president is always involved somehow.
And then you need to find your daughter and help the president and stuff like that. And the whole story is told, which is really cool. It's the whole story is a flashback that you're playing, because it starts with this one guy being interrogated in the Oval Office. Or not in the White House prison like that. He's being interrogated. So he's telling the story of Sam Fisher, and then it catches up to that point, and then Sam Fisher breaks that guy out, and then game ends.
So the whole game is just dementia. Like, basically, it's just reliving, he's in the old age home, just reliving.
It's a flashback.
But it's just, I haven't played it for quite a while. Is it on anything? No, it is.
Game Pass.
I think it's on Xbox. Like, you can buy it on the Xbox store.
But it's not one of those. It's not a fitty game anymore.
But it's one of those, if you have it, you can put it in your Xbox and then play it on the Series X, which I have done.
So if you, let's say you have a game that's pretty Game Pass time, can you, if you put it in, does that tell Xbox that you own the game?
Yes.
And then you cannot play it without the disc?
No, you still have to play
it without the disc.
You still need a disc,
It downloads the latest version, but you have to put the disc in to say, I own it.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
But it's like the disc is essentially a key.
Yeah. Not all games, though, by the way. So like Rockstar's Table Tennis, for example, which is somewhere on the table, that's not compatible. So I would have to play that on the 360.
Really?
Yeah.
Not all games are compatible. Yeah.
A lot of them are, but not all of them.
They should just put the emulator on the thing.
I think you can on Xbox. I think there's like a weird workaround to like put it. You can play like PS2 games on an Xbox if you emulate it properly. Yeah. But yeah, anyway, Splinter Cell Conviction. I love the Splinter Cell series. This was the last voice acting role as Sam Fisher for Michael Ironside is his name. Then he didn't come back. He wasn't going to come back for this one, I read. But then they sent him the script and he's like, okay, cool, I'll come back. Because he felt he had done everything for this character. And then Blacklist came out, which he wasn't the voice actor
for. So it's basically like he's the real guy in the thing, because it's like, oh, I'm done.
Yes, exactly.
And now they're calling me back to action. Oh, I must take it because I must do the thing.
Yeah. And then Blacklist came out, which I didn't like at first because of the changed voice actor. You could kind of tell. But.
Oh, so the other guy's trying to do his voice.
Yeah.
I see it's because he had cancer. Yeah.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. Yeah, I thought so he just didn't want
to. No, that's why I couldn't.
Okay. Let me take back all that.
But, yeah, great series. They need to bring Splinter Cell back, man.
Ubisoft, they stopped again.
They brought him back. They brought Sam Fisher back in. What? It was like
a mobile thing.
Yeah. And then they brought him back as like a, you could do like a quick little Splinter Cell type of mission. And he was there as a character. But there hasn't been a Splinter Cell game since Conviction. They're great. I love them, man. Like proper spy thrillers, like Tom Clancy as well. Proper spy thrillers.
I haven't played any of them. And maybe I always thought they were stealth heavy, so I was like, I'm not a fan.
The first three are incredibly stealth heavy.
Yeah, I don't have the patience for stealth.
And they're too old now. I went back and tried to play them. I bought the original Splinter Cell on Xbox because you can play like the Xbox OG version on Series X.
Nice.
So cock.
Controls.
It's just aged too poorly. So like, if you want to play a Splinter Cell game and you don't care too much about the story, just the gameplay, start here, really. So that's yeah. us, guys.
What is your Game of the Year for 2010? And your movie and your, I don't know, album.
And your song.
World Cup memory as well.
Atalia, I've seen why he's wrong about waving flag.
Yeah. Or don't.
It's up to you. We're not going to tell you.
You're not going to change my life.
Your, you have free will. Yeah. Do what you need to.
And then, guys, just one question we want to ask you.
Yes. Which game had the best cheats or secrets?
I mean, top of my head quickly, because we have to wrap up now. Top of my head, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2.
That is a very...
You could unlock Spider-Man and Wolverine.
Yeah. I was just going to say GTA, because like you can... The game is completely different. But somebody's going to say something like, I don't know.
I know.
Somebody's
if you want to make it more difficult, then make it like just secrets. Like Easter eggs and secrets. Yeah.
So I'm just going to say like Sly Cooper 3. Anyway.
If you go here, then you'll find that.
Anyway.
Peace out.
Safe.
Bye.
Stay safe out there. Play games.